Today on Renewing Your Mind, how does God bless his people?
God blesses the community by blessing the individual, and he blesses the individual by blessing the community. These blessings are for us, but they are not about us. They are about the Lord.
Throughout Scripture, we find benedictions and doxologies, blessings pronounced over the people and corporate praises. One of the most familiar benedictions comes from the Old Testament book of Numbers, and it begins, "The Lord bless you and keep you." Today on Renewing Your Mind, Dr. H.B. Charles Jr. shows us the immense theology that we find in these blessings and praises.
Welcome to this study of selected benedictions and doxologies. In this particular session, we will study Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27, the first benediction in the scriptures and one of the great passages of the Bible. I grew up in a church where the offering was received at the end of the service, and the congregation walked around the offering plate, and if the service was a little bit too long, some people would be tempted to deposit their offering and keep on walking out the door. And whoever was officiating, if they caught that, would say in the mic during that offering, "Remember, there's a blessing in the benediction. There's a blessing in the benediction." That's the truth. It's just not the whole truth. The whole truth is that the benediction itself is a blessing. Pastors have the wonderful privilege and sacred duty of prayerfully announcing the blessings of God on the people of God from the Word of God as they scatter from the place of worship. Over the years, my own pastoral practice has been to announce the blessings of God on the people of God from Numbers 6, verses 24 through 26, the blessing of Aaron. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious toward you. The Lord lift his countenance unto you and grant you his peace. This great benediction sits at a strange place. The previous verses of this chapter record the regulations for the Nazarites, who lived in special consecration before God for specific and special periods. They were to have no wine. They were to not have their hair cut. They were not to touch anything dead in this special covenant relationship the Nazarites had before God. But it is after those regulations that the blessing of God is commanded here, not merely to these quote unquote super spiritual people, but to the people of Israel. It is a blessing to all of God's people at the end of Numbers chapter 6. It is a blessing to the people of Israel, says verse number 23 and verse number 27. And yet the language is singular. In a real sense, God blesses the community by blessing the individual, and he blesses the individual by blessing the community. These blessings are for us, but they are not about us. They are about the Lord, whose name begins every line of the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord lift his countenance unto you. This first benediction is God's announcement of blessings on Israel, but throughout the centuries, it has been used as a statement of blessing for both those of Israel and for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In a real sense, this passage is the Old Testament counterpart to the grace recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This, in a real sense, is a succinct statement of blessing that, in a real sense, is the Lord's Prayer of the Old Testament. And it declares to us that God is truly in the blessing business. D.L. Moody wrote that this is a blessing that can go all over the world. It gives and gives without ever becoming impoverished. It is the speech of God. He wrote, every letter should conclude with it. Every day should begin with it. And every night should be sanctified by it. What does it mean here that God blesses his people? There are three lessons from this first benediction of Scripture that I would have you to consider with me. First, we learn here that every true blessing comes from the Lord. Every blessing comes from the Lord. A rich man was traveling with a bag of treasure. Somehow a thief found out and happened to join him along the way, planning to rob him. And each night they stopped the journey and would recline in an inn for the evening. And the thief prepared to rob the rich man of his treasure, but it was a wise rich man. He would allow the thief to wash up for the night first. And while the thief was washing up for the night, he would hide his bag of treasure underneath the pillow of the thief. And the thief would come out. He would go in and the thief would look all over for the treasure and couldn't find it. And this happened night after night after night until he gave up. And finally, as they parted ways, the rich man told him the treasure was closer than you could ever think. In a real sense, this is a parable of the futility of our worldly pursuits. We look for treasure from the things of this world that can only be found in God. Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 12 and 13 decries two great evils God's people have committed. They have turned from God, the living fountain, and hewn for themselves broken cisterns that cannot provide real water. Every true blessing comes from God. And we see in the opening verses of this passage that God blesses according to his will and according to his word. The Lord blesses according to his will. Verse 22 and 23 says, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. And you shall say to them, and then the benediction comes. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 22 says that Aaron lifted his hands toward the people of God and blessed them. But here we see that he didn't do that spontaneously. The priests were commanded of God to bless the people of God. They did not bless God's people by their own script or by their own edit or by their own ad lib. There was a divine formula by which they were to announce the blessings of God. Verses 22 and 23 then should be read as more than just the setting in which the blessing was commanded. It is a statement about the authority of God. God blesses according to his will. God is the source of all true blessings. In fact, he is the subject of all true blessings. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord, says verses 24 through 26. God doesn't play ball by our contractual binding on him. God is the ultimate unrestricted free agent. God is sovereign and he blesses whom he wills and as he wills. There is nothing we can do to manipulate the blessings of God. God blesses according to his will and God blesses according to his word. This is also significant as there's an important turning point here. God, through Moses, had been leading the children of Israel with signs and wonders. He brought them out of Egypt with the strong and mighty and outstretched hand. He fed them with food from heaven every day. But as God would lead them into the promised land of Canaan, the work of God among them would shift from the supernatural to the providential. And in a real sense, what you are going to begin to find as you work your way through the opening books of the Bible is, in a real sense, the disappearance of God. It starts out with God showing up over and over again, and then he shifts to establishing a relationship with his people upon which he speaks and they hear his word. So it is with this first blessing. This announced blessing is not something they were to see. They were to hear this blessing and trust that they were actually blessed on the authority of God's word. It is a warning to us. Don't miss God's work among us by being preoccupied with things that we can see. God blesses according to his word. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And as a result, he is like a tree planted by the streams of the water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf does not wither, and in everything he prospers. We are blessed according to the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 40 verse 8 just simply says it this way, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Every true blessing comes from the Lord. The second lesson here, and the blessing itself, verses 24 through 26, is about the sufficiency of God. The Lord's blessings are all you need. The Lord's blessings are all you need. Verses 24 through 26 records the blessing of Aaron, the benediction of Aaron itself. There are three lines to this blessing. Each line focuses on the Lord. There is his activity and then the result of his activity. And then each succeeding line is longer than the previous one. It is the picture of the cascading blessings of God flowing down on his people. There are 15 words in this blessing in the Hebrew 12. If you exclude the name of God, a subtle reference maybe here to the 12 tribes of Israel. God's blessings are on his people. And this exquisite poetry used to state this blessing declares emphatically that God is everything that we need. The Lord Jesus Christ is everything we need. Consider the blessings line by line. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord here provides for our needs two ways. He blesses and he keeps. Blessings here no doubt would have been understood by Israel to refer to land and possessions and all of those material types of things, but the blessings of God transcend the material. In fact, in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10, Jabez prays that God will bless him and enlarge his territory, and then he quickly says, but let your hand be with me, because the things of this world do not matter if you don't have God on your side. Jesus asks, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? We are not blessed by the material things we have. We are blessed by right relationship with God through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in him, Ephesians 1 verse 3 tells us that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. R. Kent Hughes wisely comments, the devil may curse us, but if the Lord has blessed us, what does it matter? And he's right. We are blessed and saved and safe and secure in God. In fact, that is what the line here affirms. The Lord that blesses is the Lord that keeps. Only God can sustain us. He is able to keep us from anything and everything that would do us harm. Remember later in the book of Numbers, when Balak will hire the mercenary prophet Balaam to curse the people of God? But God keeps his people. And every time Balaam tries to curse the people, he ends up blessing the people of God. the Lord who blesses us, is the Lord who will keep us. Hear the psalmist in Psalm 121, verses 5 through 8, declare the keeping power of God. He says, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The Lord blesses and keeps. But then he says, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. God is spirit, says John 4, verse 24. He does not have a face as we have. This is an anthropomorphism. This is a human terminology for divine reality so that our finite minds can understand the greatness of God. It is a picture of the favor of God. The face of God pictures the favor of God. Psalm 84, verse 11 says that the Lord is a sun and a shield, and he bestows favor and honor, and no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. The Lord, he says, makes his face to shine upon us. And what does that mean? I think the next line declares it. It is when he is gracious toward us. Grace is unmerited favor of God toward the undeserving. This is our reality. Without the rescuing grace of God, we are dead in trespasses and sins, says Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Then Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5 says, but God, being rich in mercy, according to his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious towards you. And then he declares, the Lord lift his countenance unto you and grant you his peace. The Lord lifting his countenance is him smiling on us in his divine favor. And I think the result is expression of the activity. He lifts his countenance upon us, and in so doing, he gives us peace. Hear David in Psalm 4, verses 6 through 8. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when the grain and wine abound. And in peace, he says, Psalm 4, verse 8, I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, cause me to dwell in safety. Every blessing comes from the Lord. The Lord's blessings are all you need. The third lesson is that you can trust the blessings of the Lord. Verses 22 and 23 are divine initiation. Verses 24 through 26 are divine benediction. Verse 27 is divine ratification. God plans the blessing, God pronounces the blessing, and then God promises to fulfill the blessing. The text says in verse number 27, so shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. Notice how God ratifies his word for his people. He says, I put my name upon them. Of course, in scripture, one's name is more than a means of identification. One's name represents his nature, his character, his authority. One's name represents the person himself. This is why Exodus 20, verse 7 warns us, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For God will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. God takes his name seriously. But he gives his name to his people as strength and refuge and protection and blessing and favor. Proverbs 18, verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous can run into it and be safe. My family and I were traveling. My wife and 3 kids took a flight ahead of me, and I was to catch them later that day. But I saw on social media that they were posting pictures from their flight, and they were having breakfast. And when they called, I tried to play it cool, but I said, Mrs. Charles, you all are having breakfast on this picture on the flight, which means somehow y'all ended up in first class. You took my Sky Miles and put you and children in first class. She says, I didn't do that. You did that. I said, how did I do that? She said, you named my son after you, HB. And when we checked in, they thought he was you, and we all got bumped up because of your Sky Miles. This, in a real sense, in a greater, deeper, higher way, is how the Lord puts his name on us. We have favor and grace and mercy that we do not deserve because the Lord has put his name on us. And he says, I will not only put my name on you, but I will bless you. I will bless you. Verses 24 through 26 grammatically pictures blessings of God as a habitual act or ongoing activity. But verse 27 is pointing to the future. God will bless. It is his promise for the days to come. Warren Wiersbe said it well. Christians don't live on explanations. We live on promises. And you can live a long time on a promise if you trust the one who has made the promise. God is worthy of our trust because Numbers 23, verse 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and he will not do it, or has he spoken and he will not fulfill it? No, God is faithful to all of his promises. In fact, Paul tells us in his Corinthian letter that all of the promises of God are amen in Christ Jesus. Because of his son who died at the cross and rose from the dead, we have blessed assurance that all of the promises of God can be trusted. And so we're standing on the promises of Christ my King through eternal ages. Let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Amen.
Amen. I think all of us, as we anticipate attending worship this Sunday, and when our pastor raises his hands and pronounces the benediction, we will remember to an even greater degree the goodness of our God. You're listening to Renewing Your Mind on this Friday, and it's been our pleasure to present a new teaching series by Dr. H.B. Charles, Jr. It's titled Blessing and Praise. It's a look at the wonderful benedictions and doxologies that we find in Scripture. This is an 8-part series. We're offering it to you on a single DVD for your donation of any amount to Ligonier Ministries. And so we invite you to call us and request it. Our number is 800-435-4343, but you can also go online to renewingyourmind.org. Renewing Your Mind is a listener-supported outreach of Ligonier Ministries. It was founded in 1971 by Dr. R.C. Sproul. He wanted at the outset to proclaim, teach, and defend the holiness of God to as many people as possible. That continues to be our mission today here in 2020. And because of your generous support, we're seeing that happen. Through the years, we have produced more than 500 teaching series and published more than 500 books, plus a magazine that has more than 250,000 readers every month. In addition, our free mobile app is launched millions of times per year all around the world. So I think you can see why we're so grateful for your continued support. We have all experienced good times and bad times, but it's in those times of turmoil that many of us begin to wonder, where is God in all of this? I hope you'll join us next week as we bring you Dr. Sproul's series, The Providence of God. What role does God play in our lives? Join us beginning Monday here on Renewing Your Mind.